Hello, welcome to the Astra Economic Week interview. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Astra Investment Management. I'm joined today by my friend and partner, Rob Stein. Rob, hello.
Hey, John. This is going to be fun.
It will be fun. Exciting day. So we're recording this right after the payroll number on Friday, May 7th. I think we should jump right into that because it was a big miss. It was a big miss and everyone is extremely excited.
Yeah, we're back to the environment where bad news is good news, right? It's all about
And that just frustrates people in a whole different way, right? When things are so bad, it's good. And that we mean that when the economic data is bad, people translate that into more federal support and then stocks or bonds go up in price, which a lot of people find a frustrating thing.
I'm one of them. I don't mind that when stocks have had a bit of a sell-off, but to keep the rally going. Yeah, I'm not so sure I like that, but who knows, right? It's certainly a good enough number as the trend goes, even though the revision was down a little.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, we do like to start with sort of economy in a nutshell. Economy is still on its recovery path. And that's sort of where I see things, and we don't need to get too much more into that before we jump into the details. So today was the day for the employment situation report. Change in non-farm payrolls up 266,000. That sounds like a lot, or sounds like a reasonable number, except for people were expecting them to be up a million. So that was a big disappointment. In addition, last month's 916,000 number was revised down to 777,000. This number is a disappointment. No two ways about it. Though, in some ways, I think you had the claim people who are watching unemployment claims going, "What have I been trying to tell you?" Right? Like things are getting better, but not as fast as you thought.
Yeah.
You know, so you can also say like an average gain of 500,000 jobs over the last 3 months. That sounds plausible, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the talking point. Nobody expected that the last 10 months to be anywhere near this, and suddenly you're getting these numbers. I mean, even hearing you say them, 1 million, 800,000, 500,000, 190,000 miss, it's like I have to do a double take. Like, you know, the numbers are that large, or 10 million people losing jobs in 60 days. But so my point is that it's probably harder for guys like, you know, you and I, to fathom these numbers and how they relate to the economy. They're that big, they're that volatile. And I think your point, 500,000 on average, probably, I know we've got a long way to go, but probably better than what it looks like on the surface the last two reports.
Yeah, well, the last report is still up 800,000, right? So that's good. That's unambiguously good. So yeah, you know, so where we are, I would say, is last 3 months averaging 500,000 jobs added, still leaving us down 8 million jobs from where we were before the pandemic took hold. These numbers can be volatile. And like, I'm going to need another month or two before I start panicking. So if we broaden out our conception to the sort of the broader labor market, this is kind of consistent with what's been going on in the jobless claims, where people have been pointing to jobless claims being the odd statistic out. And what's going on there is that it gets a little bit better every month, every week, but not like headline making numbers, right? People have sort of forgotten about these numbers, but you know, every week for the last few weeks, we've set a new local minimum in terms of the total continuing claims for unemployment, new claims going down. And so, you know, the labor market is still improving though slowly is where I would say. And Fed Bank of Minneapolis President Neil Kashkari said, you know, that this validates the Fed's outcome-based approach. You know, you don't start to take back the policy stimulus just because everyone thinks that jobs are going to go up a lot in April. And honestly, like Rob and I love to hear that because that's exactly what we tell people we do, right?
Right. And I have a lot of
we want to wait till we see it in black and white before we actually change our position.
Yeah, I like that point of view. It makes a lot of sense to me.
So in other, the ancillary statistics, the unemployment rate ticked up slightly. That might be because of good reasons, more people entering the labor force. Underemployment rate improved from 10.7 to 10.4. So some of the jobs, so it's sort of modest improvement. So I guess, you know, I don't know if you've been watching the sort of the discourse over the last 2 weeks or so, but the big labor market question, aside from how quickly is the labor market growing, is the labor market supply constrained? And if so, why? And with sort of two different theories of the case, right? So I think a lot of people say the labor market is supply constrained. There's not as many people looking for work as you might expect.
Yep.
So there's one school of thought who says, gosh, you know, the extra $300 a week people are getting is keeping them out of the market. And the other one is like, no, their kids aren't in school and they don't feel like it's safe to go back to work. And that's what's keeping them out of the labor market. And I guess I would say maybe a little bit of both, but I lean towards the latter. Like, I don't think, like a lot of like the sort of the careful evidence about looking at is the extra stimulus payments or extra unemployment payments keep people out of the labor market. The more careful studies of that has not shown that to be the case. It's not impossible that it's showing up somewhere. So I guess I lean more towards the latter. What do you have an opinion on this, Rob?
Yeah, I do. So I agree it's a little bit of both. But I think that the labor market has changed. I was actually traveling a couple of weeks ago and out at restaurants and for the first time meeting new people, like a friend of a friend. And I'm certainly talking about a very specific piece of the economy, but it seems like particularly the 18 to 38 year olds have found different things to do, whether it's, you know, some clever business tech thing or how to make a few extra dollars. Not sure it's the type of employment that shows up in the labor statistics. I think the economy has changed where we're not picking up the data as we used to. You know, obviously us at Aster, we'll find ways to read into that. I believe that it is constrained. And I do think that lines outside on Michigan Avenue in Chicago for some of the high-end stores for people that appear to be first-time consumers of those products is mind-boggling. So I do think the additional stimulus is adding to it. I think people finding new ways of supporting their income that aren't traditionally shown up in the labor market, that we will be looking at data in a different way to identify those, all come together, the labor market responding in a much different way.
Or at least our measurements of it. Yeah, and that's definitely possible. So, you know, to the extent that you are worried about the idea of the extra $300 a week, like that expires in September, right? So,
yeah.
So that's actually a sort of a self-correcting problem.
Right, but what's the expression? Never underestimate a consumer with an extra dollar in their pocket. So,
yeah, I mean, there is, you know, we've talked several times that there's a lot of excess savings. It's not clear how that's distributed. It's probably skewed towards people who won't spend it. But still, you know, it is going the right way. And I guess one other thing I'd say with the labor market shortage idea is that labor and hospitality actually came back very strong, right? It was up. It's been up every month this year. And that's the area where you're hearing people talk about, I can't get anyone to work at my IHOP, right, or whatever. So,
and that's true. That's true.
You know, and there's also there are some weird seasonal things because of, you know, how weird the date has been. And, you know, I think we got to wait another month is sort of like my takeaway before we start panicking.
So that's my second point, right? Let's see how this data is, you know, 2, 3, 4 months from now, where maybe people took a longer breather, maybe they stretched their stimulus dollars, you know, they got a couple of other, you know, they sold something that was, you know, highly overvalued, whether it's a condo, a home, even some of these stocks, you know, some ways to supplement. And I know that doesn't speak to, you know, a giant majority of the workforce, but I do believe that there's been other sources of income and paying your typical bills. I think there's a delay with a part of the workforce to getting back into the workforce. I think wages are probably going to go up and they'll attract you know, these workers sooner. And I think that we'll have numbers that show what we think is happening with these numbers, as well as other viewpoints of the existing numbers.
Yep. So I think we will talk next about the purchasing managers indexes. So we tracked two series of those. So again, those are basically, you go out and you ask companies, are things better or worse than last month? And you count up the number of people who say better, subtract that the number of people who say worse, and you've got your purchasing manager's index. So those numbers are extremely high. The one series, the ISM series, which is a little bit better known, has come off of its absolute highs, but is still at very strong levels. There's another series called the market PMI series, which is skews a little bit more in the mid-cap, away from the large-cap firms. And that one is still at life of series highs. So, that to that extent, businesses are saying things are getting better.
Yeah. They're at such high levels that even small dips, you're in the 60s, it's a diffusion index. It's another promising piece of information for sure.
No, you will note that the manufacturing employment sub-index dipped down last month, and manufacturing employment actually dropped this month too. So who knows? Another thing is, so Morgan Stanley actually puts together sort of an aggregate of CapEx plans for the country. And that number is going up strongly. So, I do think that businesses are optimistic about the future, which means, they're going to spend and hire, that's all to the good.
Let's not forget the infrastructure that the government is planning. It's consistent.
So that's not a huge one-year thing, right? That's going to be like $2 billion. Like if things go great, it's going to be $2 trillion over 10 years. So $200 billion a year, which isn't nothing, but
but how the markets are. It's like when they give a forecast of the budget over, GDP increases or tax increases or decreases, they look 10 years and people move the economy and the markets tomorrow.
Yeah, that is, that's great. The markets do try to read into the future. In some of the sort of more anecdotal statistics, which something's between anecdotes and statistics, I guess. Things like TSA security clearances, not quite at a new high, but within very close to a new high since the recovery. Same thing with open table seated diners. If you look at the Chase reports, how much their clients are spending, hotels going up. So these sort of higher frequency, less mapped to GDP numbers, seem to be going in the right direction.
Yeah, it's hard to find anything overly concerning. While there are cautious concerns, there's hard to find evidence that the acceleration is going to continue at the same pace we've had. So it's one of those environments where the range from worst case scenario to best case scenario is so large that anywhere in between seems satisfactory in the short run.
Yeah, I guess I would say, if we do continue at this, 500,000 jobs a month pace, that would be 16 months before we're back to where we were before the pandemic. That seems plausible, right? Like, I could buy that. Like, next summer 2022 is when everything's finally sort of COVID's 100% over. Yeah, like, that seems possible. Could things go better than that? Sure, they definitely could. I guess my bottom line is waiting to see whether there's going to be a little bit more acceleration. We have to think about like, what's the catalyst to put some, put some fuel in the fire.
Right. Good point. We'll wait and see.
Okay. So I think we'll wrap it up there. Disappointing, jobs number trend is probably still intact. And tune in next week for more great economic data.
Thanks, John.
If you want more information, you can check our website, astorim.com. That's astorim for investmentmanagement.com for white papers and blogs and charts, or download the Astor Research app from your favorite app store. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, John. We'll see you at the IC.
Okay, bye.
To learn more about Astor Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.astorim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.